How do unschoolers learn subjects, especially if we're not using curriculum? Which leads us to, if we unschool, how will they learn what they need to know? That's what we're talking about here this week on the Unschooling Mom to Mom podcast. I'm Sue Patterson, and this is the Unschooling Mom to Mom podcast. Each week, I share a mini unschooling pep talk, about 10 minutes or so, because I know how busy you are. I want to pop into your lives and give you a little encouragement, a little reassurance that unschooling really does work. My own three kids are all in their 30s, all unschooled, all different paths. We started back in the 90s, so I have a lot of information to share with you. I've seen what works and what doesn't. I have a variety of resources for you at the unschoolingmomtomom.com website. That's a great place to dive into if you're wondering how unschooling can work for your kids in your family, because everyone's lives look different. And while this path is admittedly unconventional, it really does work. You don't have to duplicate school. And no, you will not ruin their lives. The opposite will happen, actually. So be sure to check the show notes for links to specific resources. Subscribe to the channel or the podcast, however we're connecting here, and let's jump right in. If you're looking into unschooling, it's not unusual to wonder how the kids are going to learn what they need to be successful adults if you don't go out and buy all the curriculum and all the typical subjects. The word successful is going to mean different things to different people. Maybe it's about getting into college or finding a good career. Maybe it's more about personal happiness and the ability to fund that themselves. Last week, I hosted a free webinar for about 100 people wondering this same thing. It's up at the Unschooling Mom to Mom YouTube channel now, so please subscribe. We talked about the actual subjects that weave into a variety of everyday activities for kids. I have visuals and handouts and all the things to help you get more comfortable with this concept when you hop over to the description at the video on the YouTube channel. If you're registered for the webinar, you can check your email inbox for the links. But there are a few things I want you to know when we're looking beyond the classroom. It might help to think a little bit about how we got here. You know, back in the 1850s, Horace Mann promoted the idea that all kids of a certain age be taught certain subjects. By 1930, at least in the United States, sending kids to school became legally mandatory. We could talk for days about what prompted this and how the public was convinced this was a good idea. And in fact, some pieces of it still have merit. We do benefit when our citizens are educated. It just all depends on what we think constitutes a good education, right? And before I go off the rails here, I'm bringing this up because not a lot has changed in the way information is delivered in a school setting. Sure, the internet has made an impact, but kids are still grouped by age instead of interest or capability. Multi-age classrooms are a thing of the past. The teacher is expected to deliver all the information, wanted or not, to the children, and then they're tested to see what they retain. Then it's on to the next topic for 12 years, all of childhood, really. Bells ring, signifying it's time to move to the next subject, each getting between 30 minutes and an hour per day. A scope and sequence weaves through the curriculum, all determined by the legislature and the book companies. Attempts are made to help kids who don't conform to this approach. That's where the IEP concept comes into play. Individualizing isn't really something the system was designed for, though. So it's limited. But you know all of this. You've been there, most of you listening. And if you're here, you've probably noticed the shortcomings. This all-too-familiar approach to learning, this school approach, whether it's happening in your local neighborhood buildings or it's being implemented at home in a traditional homeschooling model, this is just one approach to learning. It resembles the factory lines because it's a product of that era, and the world has moved on, and our children deserve to move with it instead of being tied to an antiquated system designed in the 1800s. So if schools are derived from the industrial age, what does learning look like in this innovative age of information? We've discovered a few things along the way. That learning is bigger than school, and that schools are not the only source of information when you want to know something. Learning styles vary, and the teacher-driven lecture format isn't the best approach for a lot of people. Critical thinking and problem-solving skills are developed when you're encouraged to explore instead of giving one right answer for a test. And lifelong learning has become the norm, with people continuously adapting and acquiring new knowledge and skills, changing careers, shifting interests, pivoting due to changes in the world throughout their entire lives. So what's the better option? How can they not learn what they need? I know, answering a question with a question can be a little maddening, but it's the truth. I have even more questions for you. When we can see that the world is changing at a rapid pace, don't we need to help our kids be able to change with it? Learning isn't about memorizing facts. Those are at our fingertips all the time. It's about being able to think critically, to solve problems, and adapt on the fly. These are the skills that really matter in today's fast-paced world. Doesn't it seem logical that encouraging our kids to tap into our communities online and locally, we're opening doors to endless opportunities for them to explore their passions and curiosities? They can connect with diverse perspectives and see the world as it truly is today, a place packed with possibilities, connections, and so many learning adventures. Sometimes people say, that's all fine and good, but they need the basics first. I'm not sure we're even clear on what the basics are. Learning to read? Well, yes, that's important. But when you step away from school, you can see that your reading skills aren't necessarily what determines whether or not you learn. You can learn from watching videos, talking with other people, listening to podcasts. Maybe adding and subtracting, computational skills, or what you're thinking is part of the basics. But when kids are allowed time to play, whether they're building in the backyard or on Minecraft, cooking in the kitchen, creating clothes for their dolls or online characters, they're learning math skills. They're sorting and measuring. They're estimating and experiencing math, as well as physics and geometry and all those basic skills people are worried about. And before you dismiss that online playing, we are seeing kids with so much richer vocabulary from watching videos online. Their spelling skills grow as they chat or follow directions. Their research skills are way beyond our own as they're trying to solve issues they're encountering. When a child isn't waiting for someone else to randomly pour information onto them, they take up the tasks themselves, right? They move in the direction of their interests. And as they do, they bump into obstacles that keep them from moving forward. And then these become the catalyst to learn more, to develop new skills, to continue on their path. They don't have to be convinced to do this or told that their futures depend upon it. They don't have to be coerced or bribed or shamed. When we haven't convinced kids that their preferences are secondary and they have to do the adult's choices before they can get to theirs, this autonomy grows. I know you remember what it was like when you were told to wait, when you were told that you could play after you did your homework, or you couldn't start a project because you were on a school schedule instead of your own. That little light inside you dimmed until you got out of school. Then you were able to explore your interests and see what your own preferences were instead of someone else's. When we take off those rose-colored glasses, we can see that the old ways weren't always best, but helping kids deal with the reality and opportunities that learning presents today, that's our role as parents. Okay, so how do we do this? I have three ideas for you. The first is doing a little internal work. We're going to look objectively at our own experience with learning. We see where it fell short and where we excelled. And then we look at why that happened. When we step away from what's familiar, we have to make a conscious effort to learn more about how unschooling and deschooling works. And lucky for you, you have an entire website here to work your way through. I'll put the link in the show notes, or if you're reading at the blog, you're here. The second area to focus on is prioritizing our kids. We need to protect our little learners from our own fears. We have to resist the urge to make comparisons and interfere in the learning process. We encourage curiosity and self-direction. We answer questions and provide opportunities without trying to secretly mold and duplicate our own school experience. We recognize that fear and conformity is how we were raised. So it's not surprising that we fall back on that tactic when we step into uncertain times. It helps to find other unschoolers doing this so we can bounce ideas off of them and remind ourselves that we're not alone. I never want a podcast to go by where I don't remind you that you can always join the Creating Confidence membership group. We're in there supporting each other, offering ideas, sharing what's working and what isn't. We have a variety of platforms to connect you with the unschooling community, and we have a group coaching call twice a week. And actually, we're doing a special co-working session on how to fill out those end-of-the-year evaluations. So if that's something you're struggling in, you can jump on today and be with us tomorrow. And if you miss it, we'll have the recording for you, but it'll be really helpful. The other thing to know about the membership group is that as a podcast listener or a YouTube subscriber, you get to have the $99 signup fee waived. So you can jump right in. I'll leave links for that too. And the third important area to focus on is reframing your ideas about learning. We have to recognize that learning is happening everywhere, and everything really does count. Little snippets of conversation or bits of information add up to a completely individualized pile of knowledge for our kids. This helps them direct their own path, with our help, of course, but they don't have to have a midlife crisis in order to finally have the nerve to do something they want to do. As unschooled kids, they've been moving in this direction all along. Sometimes the concern, and it popped up in the webinar last week, is how are you going to document all of that so that they can get into college if they'd like to or if the career path they choose requires it. Rest assured, unschooled kids are doing this all the time. No doors have closed for them. I have a transcript course that's included in the membership, but you could buy it separately if you're not a membership person. I have a variety of PDFs in the membership group that can walk you through all of this, but I'm also going to create one, a table of contents that can direct you to specific podcasts and blog posts and videos that can help you address that nagging fear that the subjects aren't getting covered. So I'll put the PDF for that at the bottom of the blog post, at the show notes, in all the places. So I think that's it for this week. Be sure to watch the webinar. I have a lot of information in there. These are just our little short pep talks to remind you that, yes, they will learn what they need. And no, you don't have to go out and buy curriculum. Reach out if you need a little more support, and happy unschooling.